Welcome to Rethink Retail, the show where we dive into the stories and strategies behind some of the most successful brands on the planet. From brick-and-mortar giants to e-commerce disruptors, we uncover the secrets to their success and deliver the keys to true retail transformation. So ask yourself, are you ready to rethink retail? The future of retail starts now.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Rethink Retail podcast. I'm your host, Casey Golden, and today I'm speaking with my guest, Dara Meath. Dara is the SVP and Chief Technology Officer at Build-A-Bear Workshop, leading technology innovation and adoption in the industry while leading one of the world's most beloved brands. They have also just celebrated their 25th anniversary and are expanding greatly with 50 new stores this year. Welcome to the show, Dara.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure being here.
I'd like to start with a little bit more about your own life. Could you share your career trajectory to becoming the CTO of Build-A-Bear and why the brand resonates with you?
Sure. Thanks for asking. You know, my career was probably very much like a lot of other in the tech space, where as you started off in business, you found your footing rather quickly, with technology being a passion and a heart of where you found yourself solving problems, looking at technology differently, and how can it unlock and solve so many things for a company? And how can it automate yourself to become faster and more efficient? And so as I ran through the technology space, I found a love underneath things like applications and hardware and infrastructure. And then as quickly as stores became a part of my passion, I found a love around things like growing that and showing interactive displays and really showing how consumers can embrace and remodel things. And then I adjusted and started to look at digital when, you know, the internet became a fad and people were really interested in starting to sell and operate. How do we then become that omni buzzword many years ago and start to pivot into that and really start to see digital become a forefront? And now as the language of data and AI have evolved, really looking at that trajectory and diving into those sources. So I have a unique opportunity to really do end-to-end and sitting as a not just chief technology, but privacy and security officers, being able to sit there and really start to play and immerse the spaces together. And why Build-A-Bear? You know, I'm asked that quite a bit. And if you know anything about the brand, immediately it brings a smile to your face. It brings a love to your heart. And it says, gosh, I remember the moment when. And I felt that from the minute of just speaking with the executive team and going in and really talking about what makes them so unique and what makes their company so different. It's those moments of time that have made a difference in so many lives where I found myself very drawn to that. But it's also their unique position in the space, right? Their brand resonates, but so does the way that they think about themselves and the innovation and the technology, how they're going to evolutionize that. And I found that this was really appealing to me to be able to say, gosh, not only do I get to do everything that I love, but I get to do it with a company that I love. And so it was a match made in heaven. So, you know, being here now 14 months has really seen itself flourish. And we've already seen some of the highlights coming out of that and so much more to come in 2024.
Yeah. You mentioned that Build-A-Bear is, you know, essentially about creating these special moments for its customers. And we're at a moment of time where the blend of unique experiences and technology can really create these immersive and memorable experiences. You definitely are in this space right now to create something very fun. And it sounds like you're really spearheading what this whole Build-A-Bear experience can be in those physical spaces, you know, opening up new stores and really focusing on that technology. Could you share more about how you're leveraging technology to enhance those customer experiences, maybe even in terms of, you know, touch and play technology?
Yeah, no, it's great. You know, it started with the founder, Maxine Clark. She was a visionary in the space. She saw an area of opportunity and one that could fill so many, you know, children's and adults' lives with this moment of a bear, right? And it started off with one thought and started to spin out into so many other things. And if you look at us today, we're not that traditional retail, which I love. We're an experience location that people come in and they want the engagement, they want the love and the understanding of when they walk out of there, it wasn't that they walked into a retail environment, they walked into something that was different. They walked into something that made them feel like their time there was so loved and so well spent that they want to come back for more and more. And so the technology fits so well in those types of environments, right? It was already there with the heart ceremony, the let's dress them up, let's give them a birth certificate and say that they were, you know, newly created and here's their special name and their special opportunity. And so as we walked through that, there were a lot of additional touch points that, you know, we continued to add in. Whether it be, you know, those moments of parties where you come in and you want to sit down and have a fantastic experience with friends and entertain friends in our stores and have an event. We use technology to be able to quickly, you know, build that party, give them the experience that they want from that party. And then when they're done with it, quickly go ahead and leave, right? With the family, with the guests, with the friends, and not have them, you know, worry about what happens afterwards, right? Make it really seamless. So technology is really bringing all of that consumer idea forward. We think about the consumer in the way that we try to personalize, whether it's the special bear that they might have purchased and things that go along with the bear that they might not have seen, whether they were online or in a store, or things that are special to their location, right? It might be they have a fantastic team that they love, and we know that they love that team. So we want to bring what we're doing with that team forward. So we take all the approaches of what people think about, and we bring the technology experience forward. And then we're working on more interactions, more consumer play and touch points, as you were mentioning, right? There's more to come. This past year, we launched our Bear Believe, which is an interactive bear that allows you to do a little communication. And the bear wakes up and it does a lot of and hi. And, you know, it's sweet and fun and really lovable. And then we've experienced in our entertainment sector. So last year, we launched our first cinematic movie called Glisten and the Merry Mission, and it launched during the holiday times in all the Cinemarks in the U.S. It's streaming today in all of the major streaming, as well as available on our website. And that is a great another touch point. So we've got entertainment, whether you're on Roblox or you have other games with us or you want to go out to the movies. So it's really taking that technology and well-rounding it and giving it a life of 360 on its own.
Yeah. I'm an 80s baby, so I'm sure you can imagine what teddy bear I played with.
Yeah. I love that.
And it was like a, you know, it's a very big moment if you were an 80s baby that actually got one.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, it was a big part of my childhood, just as like, I didn't have any siblings or anything like
sure.
that. So, you know, like the bear is the world.
Yeah.
And I find it really interesting, you know, when a lot of people, especially I think just when we think of these conversations on the technology side and on the retail side, who that customer is, you know, that it's not always a child. And I think that that's kind of one of those moments that I don't think people would expect that 40% of adult Americans still sleep with a stuffy.
They do. You know, I'll say this. I travel with a bear, right? And I travel every week, just like regular executives, you know, officers and, you know, associates, everyone travels, right? It's part of our DNA. We're back to it, right? Many years later, we're back to travel heavily. And I carry a bear and I get on the planes and people just smile, right? Yeah. There's something special about that. And people want to, while I'm sitting on the plane and holding a bear, people want to hold a bear, right? They want to be able to have that little special something. And when the flights are a little rockier, they ask for my bear. I see people a little, I'm like, here, just hold the bear for a few minutes and it'll get you through it. But adults, you know, we have our fans, we have our loyalists, we have those that are new to the community. All of them are engaging and they're finding something for them. There are great bears or bunnies, frogs, cows, right? Our teen community loves the frogs and cows. Teens are all about that. So there's something for everyone, I think, out there. And, you know, we've gone through some big things in the world over the last couple of years. And a special soft gives you that plushie, gives you that little bit of comfort. And whether you're a closet sleeper with that bear or you take it around in the airports like I do, there's always something that gives you a little bit more joy and hope and love.
Yeah. And I think it is. It is one of those, you know, just special moments to be able to give that moment that you may have had when you were a kid to your own kids. And I just really appreciate the fact that Build-A-Bear honors that, I guess, maybe tradition or that moment of a childhood that I just think is super special. And so, like, you know, building these new worlds and these new moments seems to be like a core for Build-A-Bear, from your foundation to initiatives like Build-A-Bear After Dark. How does a company approach creating these immersive experiences, and how do you resonate with these different demographics?
Yeah, it's a great question, right? Because there's, I know it's sky's the limit, right? Like, they just, you can go forever in new ideas, new concepts. First, I think our founder was obviously really in touch with the communities, with the bears, and really understood the consumer. And then as she wanted to kind of step aside and let new leadership come through, I think she found the perfect CEO, Sharon Price-John, who is, you know, came from Mattel and understood not just the toy industry and the consumers, but understood product, right? And understood what made products so great, but understood the experience around it and really how to, you know, get out to the consumers and take that warm, cold touch points. Like, what works with you? What doesn't? And, you know, what are we going to do to keep driving the things that you guys love? And so I think they take a lot of what the consumers say. We spend a lot of time in understanding what our consumers are looking for and what's coming out, right? What's the next new thing? But also, what did you always love? And how can we keep making that for you? And so we're not always after just the new things. We're after things that are really appealing to every different demographic, different age groups, right? And we really go after that. And then, you know, I would say, again, it comes into that unification of that executive team to all the levels underneath and all of the users in our community, and really just bringing all the voices together, right? So we all have to be together in understanding that. I love that everyone in the company goes out and works in a store for a period of time to understand the store. It's the best way for us to ingest, you know, what happens in a store. I love that we do so much weekly communication with everyone in the offices to explain what we're doing, whether it's with our foundation or whether it's with the business, right?
Right.
It's an open forum, an open communication block. And I love that people can bring their ideas forward. So if you're, you know, working in a store and you have a great idea, we hear you, right? And that's what I love. It's one big community together, and we sit well, you know, with that. And I think, you know, as large as you can become, it's still important. And so as an After Dark thought, that really appeared into the need that people wanted to have some fun around it, right? They wanted to say that on Valentine's Day, which is a huge bear day, how can I make it more fun? So when they want to give their significant other a bear, they might want to add a little, you know, stuffy bottle of wine with it, right? Right. And it makes it really entertaining.
It's great. So much opportunity. I mean, you're right. Like, the sky is the limit. Like, it's absolutely limitless how many different directions you can take this and how you can build off of these experiences. I really like the partnerships or the initiatives that you're having with the film industry. I think that's a very unique play that hasn't necessarily been amplified in the past, really. Personally, I don't relate to any of these new cartoons on the television. But I also don't have kids, so I don't have to watch anything.
That's great. Well, I think, you know, the Merry Mission was, it was very, you know, designated to our young community because there are needs for that, right? There is that, you know, Sharon had a heavy lift in writing a lot of that. And I love that her personal touches were put into it. You could just show through that the experience and the love of the, you know, the characters that we offer in our store year after year had finally come to the live screen, right? And being able to come on there and see them just have that special wish, that special moment for the holidays. I see that this type of film will go on for years and years and years, right? It'll be in people's, you know, boxes for them to carry out. And so year after year, people want those sweet films. I still go back to the 70 quick, you know, half hour shows that we used to watch, the Rudolphs and all those fun things. And so we need more of those to keep those really sweet moments alive.
Yeah, because you are creating this moment for a child that at some point it is a look back moment.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah.
It will always be a look back moment for them. So it's great that you take that into consideration. When you're coming into these other digital media channels and you're able to do the film and you're able to do the movie, the metaverse just seems like a natural adoption, something where you might have a lot easier time creating a new world that is highly personal, where it's just fun, a very fun space. Can you tell us more about this connection between Build-A-Bear and Roblox and other immersive experiences or Web3 initiatives that the brand has been navigating?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm obviously very passionate about this. I'm going to say this, I'm not a good gamer. I'm just going to put that out there now, right? There are some people that have that really good gaming side of them. I have others in my family, my husband and children, that are good gamers. So I'm just not one, but I get out there on Roblox and I play our games because they're super engaging and fun. And I love being a part of the communities. I like the back end structure, right? How do we build it? How do we make it so it's enticing? I think there's something really great about putting, you know, when we recognize that consumers are in different spaces, I think there's something really unique about putting those types of opportunities into their hands, but also giving them a safe space.
Yeah.
Again, people think about Roblox and they're like, oh gosh, like there's some great out there and there's some scary. And we're one of the really good engaging points where we say, gosh, just go build, you know, a little store with all your stuffed animals and have fun with it. And so I love that we get to extend what we do in stores, online, and model it and take it forward and bring that. We do have some NFTs out there. I think we're stretching more within those spaces as, you know, we're all kind of navigating the space, right? Blockchain, crypto, all of these different spaces that are part of that Web3 initiative. I like the acceleration of Web3 and the ideas around it. But we are, again, a model of children to adult. And so as we think about COBOL and our privacy and our security, that's always at our forefront. So everything that we do within our organization, it thinks about, in technology, those three factors always first, right? And if you think about them first, you can build it safely and still let people come and play. And so as we keep growing out into our digital verses, I do see us expanding those models further as consumers are looking to drive that. So as there's more need and value to it, we'll add to it. What I like, though, is the initiatives of bringing some more of that play space into our stores for our future. And so we do offer, in our St. Louis area, we have one called Adventure, where you can go in and have interactive fun, get some food, and definitely have a full day there of gaming, playing, building, walking through different obstacle courses and fun things like that. And I think sometimes that's even better than the technology behind the lens of a phone, right?
Right.
So we're trying to offer it for all because we know there's moments and times that you can't get out and it's the dead of winter, right? And you're stuck at home with 5 feet of snow. We want to be able to say, here's a great thing to go and capture moments. And so, and we have channels like YouTube. YouTube's another great success for us where we're getting to put up great content and really make it fun so people can come over and have safe, reliable content for their kids that goes along with a bear that they might have just purchased. So it's just taking it and understanding the consumers and then growing out for those consumers to really give them nice, safe play spaces, but a lot of fun in between.
Yeah, I think it's important, you know, for brands to be showing up where their customers are, and they're definitely showing up for the metaverse. And it's one of the biggest opportunities I feel to actually learn about your customers and really understand what the brand means to them and what context you can, you know, leverage in that storytelling. Because just because they're going online doesn't mean you can't bring them into a physical space, you know,
Correct. If
you're coming from one direction to be able to lead them to all these other branches. You just have a very unique opportunity to kind of essentially straddle all of these channels, which I find very exciting. And one of the reasons I watch Build-A-Bear.
Yeah, it's fun, you know, and thank you for that because we love all of our customers. But yeah, it is fun. And like I said, you know, as the worlds keep growing, we'll keep growing with them. I mean, what I love about it is, look, you know, we'll probably always follow along the newest technology because that's just how innovative we are, right? And I love that. And we'll do it so that we always still understand what that technology still does, right? There's still a lot of unknowns in some of these areas. Like Web3 still has, we're so many years into it, and we still have uncaptured understanding about it, right? Whether it's the way that we do payments against it, right, with the crypto and all, or whether it's the way that we're building against these blockchains and resecuring them, which I think are very secure models and ones that we think about. But our data points continue to tell us, right? And so as we continue to build out and understand our data and what our consumers are doing and how they're buying from us and where they want to see us, we'll keep building those worlds. So in the metaverse, it's a whole new world of opportunity, and our NFTs will keep growing from that.
It's amazing. Very good to hear. I like to hear any brands that are embracing future opportunities and willing to experiment. I think experimentation is key into developing. And you are in a unique position where you guys are generating love. I work with brands that people love, like not like, not appreciate, love. And I think when you work for a brand that has that love equity, I like to say, you get to experiment more and you get to build things that a lot of other brands don't have the opportunity to build because they just, they'll never earn the love factor. Could you share some insights into how Build-A-Bear approaches storytelling and when it comes to licensing characters and creating its own, because that is all kind of part of, you know, essentially the love story that you guys are creating and how you think about that?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll say, look, we've got fantastic product people in Build-A-Bear, right? They think about new product lines and new ideas. They're always coming up with something, right? Because I mean, gosh, you know, why not? New characters, new relevant, you know, and it's fun. I think our intellectual properties are really strong, right? We offer them in so many different sizes, so many different widths, so many different, you know, opportunities. And they've had such love in the industry because they are unique and different, right? We might take a play on a character and make it something different and it becomes unique. And then we love our licensing agreements at the same time because there are some really great movies or shows that people really capture and it captures them and they want to have a little piece of it some way and they're collectors, right? And collectors, there is something about a collector out there. If you're a really strong collector, you're going to collect it in every shape, size, model, opportunity that you can, right? So whether it's from the metaverse or it's something in real life, you're going to collect it. And so it gives them another area to go and collect and something hopefully that they get a chance to walk around through airports like I do with, right? So it's a value of both sides of it, right? We know that there's a want and need around it. And so the team really gets together and collectively with our creative teams, gather and put out a lot of new launches each year. So we're constantly putting out new and new launches. And it may be that we have a strong relationship with something like Sanrio, which happens to be a really great property value for, you know, what we've done with them and them themselves, obviously. And we see that each one of those launches, they go so strong, right? People are just in love with that product. So we spend a lot of time and opportunity to understand them and then put them together and then draw out the best of it. And so we saw that in like, you know, Glisten and the Merry Mission. We had an intellectual property that it had strong results every year during the holiday season. People love the reindeers. They love the mission of Glisten at the time because there was always a story captured around it. So when they come out with the properties, they come out with that storyline is. And to your point, how do they create that? They create it during storyboards, coming together and really understanding like, what is the principle of this character and how does it fit into the rest? And then how do we want to keep creating those characters? And so when it naturally came to its fruition, it was like, oh, suddenly we think now we have some for an anime, right? Because there's enough characters there to create something. So, you know, I always admire and love what they do. I personally, as I said, not a gamer, but I draw stick figures. So when I start to see them illustrate things, I can then start to see how that storyboard comes to life in technology or comes to life further on. And that's where we get to pick up those creative pieces and really start to help them shine. But they've done all the hard work and lifting, right, to come out with these unique characters that people are going to see. So for me, it's an incredible opportunity for every business. And we are not those seasonality per se. Like we've got certain seasons that we follow. But what I love is we get to launch all year long. It's a great thing, right? And so always look out for us because there's a new launch coming around the corner like every day, which is awesome.
Well, it sounds, you know, you can't deny that, you know, your business is growing and, you know, you're hitting on the plus points with revenue growth. So you can't say that what you guys are doing isn't working, right? It's like, especially in these environments and like all of the retail like commerce turmoil. Like when you have a winner, you know, it's very easy to see the winner.
Yeah.
And, you know, as Build-A-Bear continues to evolve, how do you see technology shaping the brand's future, both in terms of infrastructure and overall customer interactions? If you could like wave a magic wand, do you have like this vision that you're, this North Star that you're going for?
Yeah, I mean, I think if I had to wave a magic wand, I would say that someone would come to us and say, this is what I want, here's how I want to create it, and this is what I want to do with it. And we'd be able to fulfill that, right? That would be our goal. And we think about those moments, like how can we get to where you could customize from A to Z, everything that you wanted to do with it. And it could be that you want to, you know, walk into a store and be able to get a unique experience of, you know, having someone walk alongside with you and talk to you about it, or you could have your own separate experience. And then at the end, just say, here, tap and go, right? There's those moments where you can be online and you want to create something really unique. So I think it's continuing to listen to the consumer and understand how they want to continue to shop with us mm-hmm. and deliver it to them each time, right? Maybe it's their own particular item that they want to create, right? They want to go on, they want to do a drawing and say, this is my new stuffy, create this something like this for me, you know? Or maybe it's something that they just want to have, you know, something that we've already created, but they want to have a seamless checkout, one tap and move. Wherever it might be, we want to keep drawing out the most of what consumers are looking for, and we want to create those models and give it to them. And I think by lifting ourselves this past year with so much of our technology, we put the foundation in to really be able to do that. This year, we'll see some of that churn come back out of that foundational work that we did. And we'll start to see changes, and we'll start to bring the consumers into different avenues of where we operate at. And what I love is we're everywhere, right? You want to go on a Carnival cruise ship, we're sitting in there having fun with you, right? Great Wolf Lodges. If you go overseas, you'll see us in all the Hamleys stores. And we've just got such a good presence everywhere that you are looking for. And I think that's where it is. And each one of them's different in its own way. Different ways that you can go and experience us and different ways that you're looking to. So if we keep listening and hearing right and then reacting, we'll be in the right situation. And then, of course, continuing to innovate and try things, which is also key. If you don't try something, you never know if it's going to work, right? So I love that you can keep playing. And I always say to my team in technology, if you trip and fall, it's okay, because next time you're probably going to tie those shoelaces a little tighter, right? And then start walking again. So the goal is to say that we're not perfect, but we're always going to be there to try to do something different and really be there with the consumer for what they love.
That's great. Well, thank you to our listeners for tuning in. And thank you, Dara, for joining us today. And I really appreciate you sharing your story and how you look at the business as you guys are going through this growth moment and continuing to drive the future of commerce and brand experience and really embracing immersive technologies as well. You guys are at the forefront, and it's just always nice to see someone at the helm that is excited about technology. It's not all the time.
I love that, right? I know. You know what? I wake up every day. The first thing I do is I say, let's go, right? And there's always something new to build, which is fun, right? Even if it's a day of everything falling apart, it's okay, because the next day you know that when it fell apart, you fixed something, you found something new, you resolved it, right? You came together as a group. I mean, I've got such talent that, you know, it's easy to do what you do. So great. And thank you so much for having me today. It was fantastic to spend the time.
Oh, this is great. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Rethink Retail podcast. Don't forget to join us next week for another episode. And if you're interested in being a guest on the show, apply at rethink.industries/podcast guest. That's rethink.industries/podcast guest. Follow us on Twitter at rethink_retail and show some love by subscribing on iTunes podcast app. Until next time.